taxes at some point? Probably, but probably not all that much if we get the cost. If our costs were in line with, say, Germany or France.
This is Janet McKean from Caro, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is DJ Var from Friday Night Vibe Session. If you like hip-hop, dancehall, and pop, and we have much more music, we play the second and fourth Friday of every month, 9:30 p.m. to 12 o'clock midnight. Everyone's going to be on their feet. Let's go.
Underwriting support is provided by Tobacco-Free Action of Columbia and Greene Counties, working to protect children from tobacco marketing in stores. The more kids see, the more likely they are to smoke. To learn more and find out how you can help, visit www.seenenoughtobacco.org.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue. Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access. Don't keep it to yourself. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message, and we'll play it on the air. Leave a 3-minute message, 518-291-9492, with your take for all you hear. Again, that number is 518-291-9492. To leave a 3-minute message that may be played on.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, July the 3rd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The Boise community responds to a horrific knife attack. Also on the rundown, only 4 months to go to the midterm elections, efforts underway to ensure all voters get to the polls. Plus, New York State asks to set a minimum level for chemicals in water. First, our top story, a federal judge ruled Monday that the Department of Homeland Security has violated its own policies by refusing to release most asylum seekers from immigration detention, even if they're likely to win their asylum case. USA Today reports a D.C. district judge ordered the department to stop making blanket determinations against most asylum seekers and resume the long-standing practice of deciding each applicant's detention status on a case-by-case basis. The judge pointed to data provided by the nine plaintiffs who filed the lawsuit to show how dramatically detention determinations have changed under President Trump. Meantime, our Eric Tegedoff reports the community is showing up in support of the victims of a horrific mass stabbing in Boise that left one three-year-old girl dead.
The knife attack happened on Saturday at the Wiley Street Station Apartments, which is home to many refugees. The Boise Police Department says there's no evidence the attack was motivated by hate. Fidel Nishambo is the Idaho representative for the Refugee Congress, a national advocacy group, and has been at the apartment complex since the attack. He says people in the complex are shaken because they have never had this type of experience in the United States.
Now, most of them, for the length of their time in the U.S. and since becoming part of this community in Boise, they've never seen something like this, as they've never seen any act of violence to a small community such as this.
Nishambo says it's important to note that this attack is not indicative of the vast majority of refugees' experience in Idaho either. Boise has a long history of resettling refugees. Police say the suspected attacker, Timothy Kenner of Los Angeles, carried out the stabbings after being kicked out of the apartments for his behavior. On Monday evening, Boise residents gathered at City Hall for a vigil.
The International Rescue Committee is gathering donations to support victims' families. The November elections are a pivotal time for the nation's future. A new effort is encouraging all Michiganders to make their voices heard. Here's Mary Sherman.
AARP Michigan is kicking off its Be the Difference campaign to engage more voters in the midterm election. Manager of Advocacy for AARP Michigan, Lisa Denden-Cooper, says they'll be talking about key issues and educating voters about registration and absentee ballot information.
Say they're a family caregiver and they're not going to be able to get to the polls. We want them to know how they get an absent voter ballot. We want to make sure that people in Michigan are prepared and informed so that they are able to exercise their constitutional right to vote.
Besides Michigan's gubernatorial race, there are key legislative positions up for grabs, including all state House and Senate seats. Additionally, all 14 congressional seats are open for the state and one for U.S. Senator.
AARP volunteers will be out over the next 4 months elevating issues that matter to Michigan families, including Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and prescription drug costs. The risk of wildfires started by fireworks is higher than normal this 4th of July. That's because of the recent hot and dry weather. Suzanne Potter has our report.
Paul Rogers, a fire prevention specialist with the DNR, says dune grass may look green and healthy, but looks can be deceiving.
Dune grass will be very green, but the grass underneath will be very dry and will be the grass left from last year that hasn't decayed away yet that dries right away. And when we reach these kind of temperatures, even though the grass looks green, it will still burn.
Last year, a teenager in Oregon tossed fireworks into a canyon and started a 48,000-acre blaze. Last month, a Michigan resident using fireworks accidentally started a blaze at Tunnel Park in Holland near the site of a 2015 incident that destroyed a set of stairs going to the beach.
And finally, Andrea Sears tells us environmental, civic, and research groups are calling on New York State to set maximum levels of unregulated industrial chemicals in drinking water.
More than a dozen groups have signed on to a letter asking the Department of Health and the Drinking Water Quality Council to establish maximum contaminant levels for PFOA, used in making Teflon, and PFOS, used in firefighting foam. The chemicals associated with a number of cancers and other diseases have been showing up in drinking water around the state. According to Liz Moran with Environmental Advocates of New York, they're asking the state to set a combined limit for those two chemicals at 4 parts per trillion.
This is the level that would align with recent studies that show anything above 7 parts per trillion may be unsafe for public health.
The current federal guideline for PFOA and PFOS is 70 parts per trillion, but several states, including New Jersey and Vermont, are acting to set levels that are much lower. Moran says New York's Drinking Water Quality Council was set to take up maximum levels for the chemicals at a meeting in March, but that meeting was canceled and hasn't been rescheduled.
Time is really of the essence because the longer people are exposed to unsafe levels to chemicals like PFOA and PFOS, the greater the likelihood that they could get sick.
The groups also are asking for maximum limits for 1,4-dioxane, a chemical found in detergents that's linked to liver and kidney disease and cancers. Legislation passed in the 2018 budget requires the Drinking Water Quality Council to set maximum limits for all three chemicals by the end of the year. Moran points out that such regulations make those limits legally enforceable.
Testing in the town of Hoosick Falls, northeast of Albany last year, found that PFOA concentration of 130,000 parts per trillion in at least one groundwater sample. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts another hot day on Tuesday with a high near 91, but there could be scattered showers and thunderstorms after 5 p.m. The heat index will go as high as 101 again. Tuesday night should be mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Then on Wednesday, July 4th, there's a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms after noon. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 87 and a low around 69. Thursday again, there's a 20% chance of isolated showers or thunderstorms. Mostly sunny skies. High near 86 and a low around 71. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
This is that time once again. And just like any station that relies on listener support, you know, we got to remind you that it's just about that time. So do it to create a better local community. Do it for any reason whatsoever. Even if you don't listen that much, you can donate out of the principle, you know. This is the day during we have consolidation of media is a big problem, in my opinion. And, you know, you have a lot of stations and TV stations and companies being bought up by larger companies and conglomerate. And that's it, you know. It's like you could look at a box of Ritz crackers and it's not Ritz crackers anymore or Nabisco or whatever it is. It's you know, it's probably Unilever or Mondelez or some, you know, giant, you know, mega global conglomerate corporation. So we are independent. We answer to nobody but you and your mama and your papa and your brother and your sister and your neighbors. You guys are our brothers and sisters and our mothers and fathers. And, you know, that's what we do. We don't have commercials. You know, we don't have sponsors telling us, we're going to pull our advertising if you talk about Donald Trump that way. So that's awesome. You know, you're going to hear real opinions on the station. You're going to hear real feelings, real emotions from people who live right near you. Or if you're a visitor here. People who you might see down the street, people who you might see at the Spotty Dog or at the Carolina House or at Chatham Brewery or Crossroads Brewery or any of these places. I got breweries on my mind. Tonight I'm going to S&S Brewery in Nassau. I've never been there and I'm very excited. You know, some of these farmers are starting to turn to beer because milk, again, with companies being bought up by each other, it's not profitable for a lot of local farmers to be dairy farmers anymore. So you got people, farmers, like, doing beer. And that's great. I'm really very fine with that. But anyway, there's just so much going on around here. So, yeah, I've heard great things about S&S Brewery in Nassau. It's, like, way hard to find and tucked away and it's like on this guy's land, and it's his own 6 generations. They own this farm and finally switched from dairy to beer. We've had a beer show on this station before from the Kenny from Crossroads. There's just so much going on. And another great feature of WGXC to just illustrate why the station is valuable and important is our community calendar of events. Our website is the best place, really, literally the best place to see what's going on in Greene and Columbia County. Don't forget that. So in addition to the, you know, just in the moment, like enjoying listening to this radio station, check out the calendar of events. because there's an endless array of things that are happening around this area. So go to wavefarm.org or WGXC.org, and before or after you donate, click on calendar, and you'll see so much going on.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia Counties, is looking for contributors. If you have an idea for a regular or irregular segment, or if you want to interview...
Here's an interview from our partners at WOOCLP from the Sanctuary for Media Art in Troy, New York. You can go to the SoundCloud page for Media Sanctuary or look up the Sanctuary for Media Art webpage or Facebook page online for more information or to hear the complete interview.
Sarah Rogerson is the director of the Immigration Law Clinic at Albany Law School. Earlier today, she spoke with my co-host, Corinne Carey, about her work at this very pivotal moment in the national immigration debate.
Welcome to WOOC, Sarah. Can you tell our listeners about your role as the director of the Immigration Law Clinic at Albany Law School?
Yeah, so I'm the professor and attorney in charge at the Immigration Law Clinic, and what that means is every semester we have students who are enrolled at the law school either in their second year or their third year. They aren't allowed to do this right away in their first year, but once they've taken their first year of classes, they're able to take what's called a clinic, and it's an experiential learning course, meaning it's out in the real world. So they move from the textbooks that they've been reading in their first year of law school into a clinical setting where they're working with real clients, with real deadlines, on real cases. So that's a big shift for the students, and it's important to have an attorney supervising them at least once. Sometimes we have two. Usually we have a staff attorney committed to each of our clinics. But that's really where the students gain hands-on experience before they graduate.
Last week, we learned that ICE, the Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, delivered 100 detainees to the Albany County Jail. This was on top of an unusual number of detainees being held there. Can you tell us what you know about this development?
Right. So we had, we were told that there would be 99 who would be brought in last week, and then there were another 101 on top of that. That's highly unusual. In the 5 or 6 years that we've had a relationship with the Albany County Jail in terms of working with detainees in their custody, the highest we've seen are numbers in maybe the 60s, and that was very unusual. So everyone is sort of trying to adjust to an uptick of this many people all at once. They weren't phased in either. It's like, you know, on Monday, there were 30 people in ICE custody being held in the Albany County Jail, and then by Friday, there were over 200. And so we had to mobilize very, very quickly to make sure that we could figure out who they were, where they were coming from, and what their legal needs were.
Do you have a sense of what the conditions are that they're being held in? Is there enough space in the jail, for example? Are they what's it like for them in there?
I haven't visited the facility, but I can say that I've been working with the sheriff to address any concerns that folks have. I understand in the beginning there was not a lot of time for them to have free time. But that was due to some administrative processing, right? If you can imagine how long it would take to process a group of 100 people and then another group of about the same number within 24 or 48 hours. The jail was following protocol, but it's my understanding they're being held separately from the general population, right? So they're in their own part of the Albany County Jail. It's my understanding, based on representations from law enforcement, that they have many more beds than are filled at the moment. So I don't anticipate any concerns about overcrowding. I know that there's also air conditioning, which is really important this week, especially given how hot it is, that they're in an air-conditioned environment. And obviously, any sort of detention is not ideal. There's no reason why the federal government should be detaining people in this procedural posture, people who've come across the border and are seeking safety in the United States and have articulated that they're fleeing their home country. That shouldn't be happening, but because of this administration's tough stance, it looks like that's the only option that they're making available.
So you, the students, some volunteers have been speaking with some of these detainees. Who are they? Where do they come from immediately, and where do they come from originally? What kind of people are we talking about?
So everyone who was brought last week came from, were transferred from San Diego, California. They are, as far as we know, we haven't been able to visit with every single one of them, but we're in the process of doing that. I can say that they come from many different countries. It's not just Central or South American countries. We have folks who have come from India, Kyrgyzstan, Syria, all over the world, really, are folks who are currently being held in the Albany County Jail. And so that raises another logistical issue in terms of figuring out how to get enough interpreters in as many different languages as we need. And so for the first couple of days, we focused primarily on the Spanish-speaking population because we had an outpouring of Spanish-speaking volunteers. But as we work through every single person and identify their unique needs, then we'll have a better picture of where they're coming from and what their needs are right now and what their journey was like to the United States. That's exactly the type of information that we're gathering right now, actually as we speak.
The Immigration Law Clinic has put out a call for volunteers to help you in screening these detainees. Can you talk about what clinic staff and volunteers are doing and what help you need moving forward?
Right. So the law clinic, right now we're in summer session, so we have no students, unfortunately, which means that we've put a call out to the broader community. We have other law professors who are in there who are conducting these interviews, who are either teaching classes this summer or otherwise in the area. We're also working very closely with the Legal Project, which is a local legal services nonprofit organization that trains panels of pro bono attorneys on all kinds of matters from domestic violence to foreclosure. And they have stepped up and have committed their volunteer coordinators and their immigration staff to helping us out. And so we have the attorneys from the Legal Project who are also conducting these interviews. The Legal Project is also making available space for us on July 11th from 5 to 6:30 at their offices, space to train additional attorney volunteers who maybe don't have experience in immigration law or don't have a background in it or just need to have a few pointers on how to interview individuals in this particular situation before they go in and do the interview themselves. And we're making that training available both for the attorneys who are volunteering and the interpreters. Right now, we've had a huge outpouring of support from Spanish-speaking interpreters, so now we're looking for other languages. And we'll be posting the list of those languages, I imagine, hopefully within the next 24 to 48 hours to start recruiting additional volunteers. We've had some non-Spanish-speaking interpreters volunteer thus far, and we're matching them with individuals that speak that language. In the meantime, we also are really in need of attorneys to volunteer, particularly this holiday week. We have slots scheduled all the way through mid-August for attorneys to volunteer. But this week in particular, because so many people are away on vacation or had other plans, we really need any attorneys who are local to step up and volunteer. And we can train them over the phone if they feel uncomfortable at all going into the jail to do an intake or two or three. We schedule them an hour and a half slots all throughout the day, and there are evening hours available. So we can usually accommodate just about everyone's schedule.
We're speaking with Sarah Rogerson from Albany Law School's Immigration Clinic on the Hudson Mohawk magazine. Sarah, you called into the studio today. You're locally based, and normally we would have you in the studio, but you called in because you're actually in court hearings and you're in meetings with folks at the jail. Can you talk about your work today and give us a sense of what some of these families are dealing with and what you as an attorney are dealing with?
Yeah. So the workload is crushing right now. If you know an immigration lawyer in your life, you should give them a hug. It's been pretty brutal, and it hasn't just been the last couple of weeks. It's really been since this administration took office. But right before I jumped on the call with you, I was actually at the Latham office at the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services office. To represent one of our clients here at the clinic who just happened to be scheduled for an interview not during the calendar year. We can't control when our clients have their cases adjudicated. And I can't speak too much about that case because it's currently pending. But it's nonstop for immigration lawyers. We barely have time to breathe in this environment. Because of the way that things change on a day-to-day basis and trying to stay on top of whatever the administrative orders or the executive orders coming out of the White House, how they impact our cases. This morning, before that interview, I was on a call with attorneys from statewide organizations and from the Liberty Defense Project through the governor's office in order to strategize about what else we can do for the individuals who are in the Albany County Jail right now. For example, we do know that they have not yet had what's called a credible fear interview, and that's a particularly sensitive stage of the process. And so it requires attorneys with specialization in that kind of in training and legal information to be able to speak with the individuals to prepare them for that. So we're going to be mobilizing that arm of this outreach effort as well. And really, we're calling on attorneys all over the state, which includes logistics, right? So I've also this morning talked with one of the lieutenants at the jail to coordinate an attorney who needed to speak with several of her clients who had been moved from the Batavia Detention Facility into the Albany County Jail Facility prior to the last two waves of individuals who were brought from San Diego. And so coordinating that, the jail has been incredibly transparent, I will say, and the sheriff has been very proactive in helping us figure out logistics, like how do people reach their attorneys? How do we secure phone lines to make sure that those conversations are confidential? And those are some of the things that I was tackling this morning with the attorneys on the outside and the jail administrators inside to see how we can put those in touch with their attorneys who already have them.
So you're concerned about people being held this week in particular because of the holiday. What kind of an effect does delay like that have on some of these cases? What are some of these families dealing with when they're dealing with a delay?
So right now, immigration is all about delay. I think this administration has slowed down lots of different application processes, which ultimately results in people being detained longer because if they do have an application for a form of relief, it may not be adjudicated for months or years, and they have to wait until immigration decides to make a decision.
And wait in custody, Sarah, is that what you're saying?
In some cases, yes. Not in all cases. And in these cases, we're dealing with recent arrivals, so they wouldn't have an application pending. But one way that the process is slowed down is if they can't get before an immigration judge for a number of weeks to determine whether or not they're eligible for bond. Because of the backlog, we're still unclear as to whether or not or how immigration judges will be made available, and if they will be made available to hear these cases. It's unclear whether or not the judges in Buffalo will be doing that by telephone. There's a lot that's up in the air right now, and we're working on tracking down that information. And once we know, we'll mobilize our attorney volunteer and all the attorneys across New York State who are working on these issues in that direction. But until we have more information from the federal government, we're also waiting to see what happens next.
These are extraordinary times in terms of immigration legal work, and I thank you for being here today. Do you still have a need for volunteers? And if so,
tuned to radio station WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson.
WGXE believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXE is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves. Wavefarm's WGXE broadcasts to New York's Upper Hudson Valley on 90.7 FM and streams to the world on WGXE.org.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
Tuesday, July 3rd, there's a Catskill Town Board meeting. WGXC will webcast this meeting for you with the town of Catskill. You can find the live web stream of the Catskill Town Board meeting at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 3rd. On the Catskill Town website or on the WGXC website. Any of the WGXC website pages, click on Listen Now at the top of the page. Scroll down to find the Catskill Town Board meeting at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 3rd. Wednesday, July 4th is a holiday, so there's not much officially going on, but there are some events. like at the Claremont State Historic Site. They're having an old-fashioned Independence Day there, with reenactors, 18th century crafts, music, food, entertainment of the unnamed variety, and a view of the Saugerties fireworks over the Hudson River at dusk. Go to friendsofclaremont.org for more information about that. Thursday, July 5th, Cairo has a planning board meeting at 7 p.m. Take out your phone if you go to that meeting or any other local town meeting. Make a recording or make a live web stream through the WGXC app. 7 p.m. is the Cairo planning board meeting, Thursday, July 5th. Also Thursday, July 5th, the Sweet 16 Cinema Club is at Hilo in Catskill. It's a new series dedicated to watching films on film. The first one, this is the first in the series, I guess they're showing From the First People, directed by Sarah Elder and Leonard Kamerling from 1977. Also, Plant Life at Work, produced by the Moody Institute of Science. Six short films by James Gore from 1973, and Rip Van Winkle, produced by Terry Toons in 1934. It's an hour and 30 minutes long, all those films, and there's a link on the WGXC community calendar for more information about the Sweet 16 Cinema Club that begins Thursday, July 5th, 8 p.m. at Hilo in Catskill, 365 Main Street. Friday, July 6th, Twisted Pine String Band performs at PS21 in Chatham, 8 p.m. Also Friday, July 6th, The Spliffs, a Woodstock-based band, perform at 8 p.m. at Hilo in Catskill with a live web stream at wgxc.org. Friday, July 6th is also when Royal Jelly Jive performs at Club Helsinki in Hudson. Soul Jive and Gypsy Blues is the description of that band. 9 p.m. Friday, July 6th at Club Helsinki in Hudson. Saturday, July 7th, there's an Art Scouts program for students grades kindergarten through 6th at the Wissahick Project in Wissahick, New York at 10:30 a.m. Elliot Fisk and Yehuda Hanani perform at 8 p.m. at PS 21 Saturday, July 7th. It's the annual Paul Grunberg Memorial Bach Concert, classical, with classical guitarist Elliot Fisk and cellist Yehuda Hanani performing Bach cello suites at 8 p.m. Saturday, July 7th at PS 21 in Chatham. Functions perform at High Low in Catskill Saturday, July 7th. That band includes Otto Hauser, Rachel Z, Jay Collins, Scott Petito, and David Gilmore. Saturday, July 7th, Red, White, and Indigo is at the Ankrum Opera House. It's a cabaret musical performance by Lady Rizzo, 8:30 p.m. Saturday, July 7th. The Nels Klein Four performs at Club Helsinki in Hudson. The incredible experimental guitarist Nels Klein, who also plays in Wilco, is at Club Helsinki in Hudson Saturday, July 7th. Sunday, July 8th, Crazy Doberman, which includes members of Wolf Eyes and Doberman, perform at the Low Beat in Albany at 8 p.m. Sunday, July 8th. These events and more are online at WGXC Community Calendar, wgxc.org.
You are tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM. Accra. This is Jim McCabe, and I'm here, if you just tuned in, this is Jim McCabe along with Chris Bishop from Vinyl Rundown and Sam Sebring, Nothing Is Real, Radio Hour, and we're just kind of each doing our own little thing here, trying to make you feel cozy and
maybe thirsty.
And maybe thirsty, yeah. Well, we'll have to hold off on the cocktails for a little while, though. It's the make-believe tiki bar for now.
Yeah.
So, and we're also doing a pledge drive, and we have a phone number for you to call.
518-697-7400, right? 7400.
That's it.
Yep. 697-7400.
or WGXC.org/donate if you want to donate online. A lot of people like to do that. That's really easy. You can also stop by the studio anytime this week. We'd love to see you, meet you, give us your thoughts on the station, what you want to hear, what you don't like to hear, anything like that.
Tell us how your life's going. I mean, whatever it is, you know, we're here to listen and to hopefully entertain and inform. And
thanks for everyone who's been calling so far. And also thanks to people who've been donating food to help us out. Everybody who's working really hard here to get through this pledge drive. And, keep the phones ringing.
And we got some cool merchandise, too. If you go to the website, you can see pictures of – well, actually, there's a whole merchandise section, but on the WGXC.org/donate, there's, like, pictures of some, like, really cool T-shirts that you get if you make a donation at a certain dollar level. Yeah, this is listener-supported, hands-on community radio, of course, and so nobody gets paid, really, except one or two hardworking staff, but it's pretty much basically a volunteer operation. So if you can help us out, that would be great. 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Yeah, people coming out to keep this whole thing going. It's kind of amazing how many people are involved with this project and constantly working on this project, volunteers. And then, but yeah, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I was thinking about, you know, we've got three DJs here from three different towns in the area, none of which is Hudson, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm from Ghent. Jim lives in Stockport.
Although I have a Hudson mailing address for whatever reason that is. I don't know. There's a post office
close. Yeah, but you're not in Hudson. You're in Hudson.
I'm not in Hudson, no. Northwest Claverick.
Right, yeah. And I'm in Athens, across the river.
So we have both counties represented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's part of, I think, you know, I was thinking about it just – really, the transformation and progression of what the station has accomplished is really remarkable in terms of just, you know, bridging these different communities. That's always been part of the mission of the station, has been to reach other communities, get communities more connected across both sides of the river. And now we have programmers from all over the place and from all different ethnicities. Of what we've accomplished in terms of community with this station is really unlike and beyond, I think, any other organization in our area. I mean, there's other organizations doing great work, but this is really remarkable what we have here.
It's very cool. I've been here part-time since 2002. And I guess I got involved in the station around 2009. I think that was the fall of that year, and then we had the New Year's Eve party. But I never would have met lovely people like Sam and Chris and Cheryl if it hadn't been for the radio station. And it's so much fun. And, yeah. You know, there's lots of other people out there, I'm sure, who would like to get involved, maybe have a show of their own. Radio is great. And this is like you can have your own voice here. And where else can you do that? It's a pretty rare thing. So.
Exactly. It's like it's empowering on a certain level because it gives voices to people that are otherwise not really being heard. And that's one of the greatest things this station provides, I think.
And in so many different ways, too. I mean, people contribute by playing music on the air or by talking about local issues, environmental stuff, national politics, local politics, all kinds of things. So any interest you have is probably represented here on the station in some form. So,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely.
You can do magic.
I'm DJ Neva Wartell and special guest Jen Dubois. So one more time, we're going to ask you to call.
Si por favor, llame 518-697-7400 para hacer una donación o visitar a la web WGXC.org y hacer el botón de donar. Gracias.
And the
and
number
in English
518-697-7400 and WGXC.org/donate. thank you very much for anybody who has called.
Please join our pledge drive and make a difference today by making a donation at wgxc.org/donate or by calling 518-697-7400.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Focus. Every community benefits from having a public square, public parks, public amphitheaters, public fire.
WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Hudson officials are moving forward with a plan to preserve and build on the city's housing stock. The Strategic Housing Action Plan, a 146-page document that outlines goals and strategies for adding and preserving housing in the city, is now under review by the Hudson Common Council. Joe Chica, Senior Vice President of the Newburgh-based nonprofit Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress and co-chairman of the city's housing task force, presented a portion of the plan to the council at its June 19th meeting. Members are expected to vote on the plan at the July 17th meeting. The plan was adopted by the Hudson Community Development and Planning Agency in May. The proposal recommends that in light of existing housing inventory and the disparity of wages resulting from the tourism-based economy, the city consider a housing policy that supports mixed-income housing. One proposal is to create a new housing coordinator to manage, track, and implement the strategic plan by working with community-based organizations that provide housing services. The housing coordinator would have an office in City Hall and would be shared with Columbia County for a period of no less than 5 years. With the vast majority of Hudson's housing stock more than 50 years old, a significant portion requires some rehabilitation, according to the study. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Ariel Zangler is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The state is considering $200,000 in improvements at the North South Lake Campground in Haines Falls. The proposed improvements would increase accessibility to North Lake Beach and day use area. The draft North South Lake Unit Management Plan suggests several changes, including the construction of an accessible stone and concrete path with two new benches, as well as construction of a wooden fishing platform and construction of a concrete path from a parking area to the changing rooms. The plan also puts forward the construction of an accessible boardwalk to provide water access for people with disabilities, as well as the addition of an accessible wooden ramp from the parking lot to the beach, as well as improvements to the changing room building. The Department of Environmental Conservation is currently reviewing submitted comments on the proposal. No completion date for the plan was provided. The North South Lake Campground is located on County Route 18 and is the largest public campground in the Catskill Forest Preserve. The campground hosts an average of 54,000 day users and 65,000 campers each season. You can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Joseph Spector is reporting for the Poughkeepsie Journal. A state law adopted in 2016 goes into effect July 1st that requires school districts to provide mental health education as part of its health curriculum. Mental health groups and lawmakers advocated for years to make the measure law, saying students in elementary through high school should get a better understanding of the aspects of mental health. Glenn Liebman, CEO of the Mental Health Association of New York State, said, and I quote, "This groundbreaking law lays the path to better health for all New Yorkers. While first starting in schools, we believe that ultimately this law will have a far-reaching effect for communities across the state," end quote. The law will help students better understand mental health, how to recognize problems they or others are facing, and how to get treatment. It is the first of its kind nationwide. Mariella Elia, the state education commissioner, said in a statement, and I quote, "The public is finally coming around to the notion that to properly address mental health issues, we must first acknowledge and openly discuss them," end quote. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, 1 in 5 American adults are believed to be afflicted with mental illness, and about half of the cases started during the person's teenage years. You can read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Lauren Stanforth is reporting for the Times Union. The Taconic Plastics plant is launching an in-depth investigation into the extent of PFOA contamination around its Route 22 plant in Petersburg. The investigation begins more than 2 years after the company first alerted the state to concerns about contamination around its property. The company, whose official name is Tanoga Incorporated, will begin soil borings and installing groundwater wells to determine the true extent of contamination of perfluorooctanoic acid, a chemical used to make heat-resistant coatings. In January 2016, Taconic contacted the State Department of Environmental Conservation and Health Department about PFOA contamination at its manufacturing facility following news that the nearby village of Hoosick Falls public water supply had been contaminated with PFOA since at least 2014. The state DEC announced last week the investigation findings will be released in a report sometime in 2019. That report will be followed by a study suggesting ways to clean up the contamination. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For weather reports, public meetings, and other information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts another hot day on Tuesday with a high near 91, but there could be scattered showers and thunderstorms after 5 p.m. The heat index will go as high as 101 again. Tuesday night should be mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Then on Wednesday, July 4th, there's a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms after noon. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 87 and a low around 69. Thursday again, there's a 20% chance of isolated showers or thunderstorms. Mostly sunny skies, high near 86 and a low around 71. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Tuesday, July 3rd, WGXC's extended Radio Everywhere Spring Pledge Drive continues, raising $25,000 to keep creative community radio live and local in Greene and Columbia counties. Pete Levensey starts the day in Catskill with the WGXC Morning Show. He'll be talking with Liz Kirkus, Membership Director and Events Coordinator at the Greene County Chamber of Commerce. James White is back at 11 a.m. with the Music Maestro Hour until noon. Later in the afternoon at 2 o'clock on Purple House, Robert Tomlinson will be talking with singers, songwriters, and composers Eva Bitova, Timothy Hill, and Antonin Fajd. And at 4 o'clock, James White will be back with Reverend Kim Singletary, host of There's a Bright Side Somewhere, and Alan Skerritt from Crossroads and Rhythm as guest hosts for the WGXC Afternoon Show. After the news hour at 7 o'clock, Leprous Garden, a monthly historical and thematic study of death metal in all its forms, hosted by Mantis, live until 9:30.
After the Battlefield Earth show in the early morning hours of Wednesday, July 4th, tune in to Experimental Sounds Overnight with the latest audio diary from Dan Tapper after the midnight news. Vital Weekly show has experimental music from Amsterdam at 1 a.m., and the Tabs Out show is at 2 a.m. with 3 hours of brand new cassette sounds. Overnight on Waveform Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Really, tell us how you really feel.
Tell us how you really feel. You could tell us how you really feel. Fun fact, you could do that by calling a number. It's an easy number to call, 518-697-7400.
You can do that by sending us money.
You can. You can tell us how it is.
Tell us what you really like about us.
Tell us how you feel.
You know, send us in. Donate to money.
Donate to money.
And why send would you... send us in some requests, and maybe we'll play them.
That's not a number for requests.
Oh darn,
that's the wrong number for requests. So you can't do that. I mean, if you
is
if
there
you
a right
it,
number for requests?
There
do
is
they
a right
just
number.
Call your home phone.
No, they could call a number for requests, but then really? There'd be two different numbers going. It's always hard to request during pledge drives.
That's very cool.
If you do have requests, if you're like you have to play this song, then you could tell whoever picks up the phone, and then the person who picks up the phone could call here and be like, you've got a request, and it's a whole ordeal.
Okay, so for now, let's just worry about the money.
The money, yeah. 51869, you gotta get us the money.
What's the money, Lebowski?
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
That's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
The number is 518-697-7400. You can also go online from your smartphone or smart device or your dumb device, as the case may be. My parents just quote-unquote upgraded their smartphones to flip phones. And
right, Willie's coming.
We're going to talk about him quick. Man, Willie. He's just... Wow, Willie. Willie's
wow.
just... Wow.
Wow,
it's just
Willie.
Just Willie.
Yeah,
it's
Willie.
Yeah.
We're live on the radio right now. We're
talking
on
about
air
it.
Talking about you.
You got solo cups?
Yeah, I got cups.
You can't really put coffee in solo cups.
Why
you can
not?
Put
because
coffee in
plastic.
Anything you want.
Do you want me to go get more cups?
Kind of.
No, don't get more cups. No.
I'll get more cups.
Don't worry about it.
No, I'll get more cups. It's okay.
Okay.
We were just telling people about how you can go online from all sort of different devices to wgxc.org/donate.
Yep.
To donate.
Yep.
And I was also saying my parents just got flip phones, and they're actually able to very primitively browse the web on them.
Wow.
Mom, what are you doing? You've been sitting there, like, going at it on your phone for, like, you know, 10 minutes. Like, I'm on Facebook.
What?
How are you on Facebook?
Who's on Facebook on a flip phone?
That thing looks like a technological fossil.
That's
it should be in the
wild.
Natural...
I feel like that thing could only run MySpace.
It only has the space to run MySpace.
I feel like, that looks like it should be in the Technological History Museum in New York.
Zion.
Jeez. I could see that being something of Futurama.
Like it probably wouldn't be, because yeah. That's just like, I mean, that's 1,000 years. That's
I mean,
time,
it's
I
probably already in a museum.
Send in your answers now. Do you think 1,000 years is long enough
can't
to make
send
a museum?
Where are you going to send in your answers? The number doesn't go to us, Sam. That you can't, no, that it doesn't work.
It's a joke. Don't it, actually send
no,
in your
it
answers.
Instead of sending in your answers, send in your money.
Okay.
Wait, where did my...
How many times am I going to say send in and you're going to correct me to money?
A lot, Sam. Okay. Right. Here we go. Here's something. If you do want to physically send something, if you enjoy sending physical documents, you can mail a check to 5662 Route 23, Akron, New York, 12405.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org.